Hola, hola y bienvenidos. Welcome to A Tu Salud, the definitive podcast for Latinx health policy. Here, we talk about all things Latinidad, health, about us. I am Dr. Ceci Aquino, Executive Director at the Latino Coalition for a Healthy California. And today, I am joined by the amazing and poderosa mujer, California State Senator and Majority Leader, Lena Gonzalez of the 33rd District. Join us today for an amazing, heartfelt conversation about what it means to be a Latina, our stories about family, what roots us in the work, especially in the hard work that is policy and seeking the justice of our comunidad, and also about formal and informal leadership and why it matters that we have representation that truly reflects who we are as a comunidad. Join me today, y a todos ustedes, a su salud. Well, muy buenas tardes, and thank you so much for joining us today. We are so honored to have you join us to have a little personal cafecito conversation, get to know you better, and just about all the amazing work that you lead for the state and our comunidad.
Thank you so much, Ceci. It's so good to be here with you and to see you in this capacity. You're doing incredible work as well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. So just to get us started, you know, in this podcast, A Tu Salud, we really like to just get to know our guests. We would love to just hear your story. Where do you come from? What inspires you?
Yeah, thank you again for this opportunity. It's, you know, when I'm legislating here in Sacramento, I always try to think about my backstory, but my story is so much like the community that I represent in Southeast Los Angeles and in Long Beach and really across California, right? Is this Latino story of parents that are humble. My father was a truck driver that worked for over 30 years driving a truck, you know, making, you know, not that much, but then, you know, getting to a place that was able to still supply food and health benefits to his family. And then my mom immigrating here when she was very young from Aguascalientes, Mexico, and really just seeing her thrive as an immigrant, but also just seeing that, you know, she was always instilling in me this power of like, you, when you have power, use it for good, yes. Wherever that might be. It doesn't even have to be as an elected official. So for me, I come with really, really, you know, just humble parents, humble beginnings, and just always in my ear, even to this day, telling me to continue to use my power for good. So that's why we're here.
I appreciate that. And I love what you shared about having them in our ear wherever we go, right? It's those lessons, the dichos, right?
Yeah.
That keep us going. And it's that cultura that keeps us rooted in the work.
Can I
ask about perhaps maybe a memory that really stands out to you from either your childhood or just growing up, something that you saw that really impacted you and you thought, this is why today you do the work that you do?
Yeah, I've thought about this. I mean, there's lots of different things, but one that stands out, I think I was about 8 or 9 years old, honestly, is my abuelita at the time. We were walking on the beach in, I think it was Corona del Mar. And I remember, you know, she didn't speak any English. So I remember people coming up to us, telling us to get off of the beach because apparently the beach is not public, although it is. And somehow they couldn't see that there were these two Latinas walking on the beach. You're not from here. You got to go. And I remember having to translate for my abuelita at the time. And it was really hard for me. And even now I have a sign in my house saying no one owns the beach, right? Because it just reminded me of her trying to communicate, not being able to, but being so angry, but also just the inequity and just the way we looked,
right,
and not feeling part of our community just because, you know, we look differently. So it always struck me as something that I needed to continue to fight for, language access, equity, and just not discriminating people because of what they look like or because they don't speak English, you know, and that's just carried with me throughout my career here.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. I think those moments, especially when we experience them, unfortunately, at a very personal level, are so impactful that they continue to root us in the work, right? In the reality that we exist in systems, in a culture that maybe wasn't created by us, but we are here, we are present. We represent 40% of the population in California. Right. And this is how who we are and who we represent, right? Our community is beautiful, right. It's powerful. And those are the stories that we are highlighting through our work here today.
That's right. Exactly. And that's why I'm so glad to partner with you in all of this really, really good work. It's meaningful work.
Amazing. Well, thank you for that. And now, hearing your story and what roots you in the work, will you tell us a little bit about your journey? How did you enter into the legislative world and into the Senate?
Right. I never, you know, you don't wake up one day, at least I didn't, and think I'm going to be the next state senator representing this incredible community that is overwhelmingly Latino and incredibly beautiful and vibrant and looks a lot like my family and my story. I never really thought about politics in that sense, but I always thought about serving my community. My mom was always volunteering, organizations for Latinos or for HIV/AIDS to combat that for the LGBTQ plus community. And so I was always in this space of like giving back, being meaningful, being intentional about your work, and not doing it for money, not doing it for fame or for anything, but just doing it because it's the right thing to do. And so I've always had that lens. So I got into public service right after I graduated from Cal State Long Beach. I had a young son very young. I was 19 at the time when I had him. So I was kind of this single mom kind of getting through college and just really still with the passion of ensuring that we were serving the public. So got to be the city council member in the city of Long Beach, representing the highest population of Latinos in downtown Long Beach. Yeah. And now I get to be in the state Senate. Representing an overwhelming population of Latinos, which is great. Hardworking, dynamic, beautiful artists, poets. It's, you know, the 33rd district is so representative of who we are. It's like not a monolith. We're a fabric of different cultures, indigenous, different languages. It's pretty amazing. So that's really been reflected in my work at the city council for language access. I remember being on the city council and I was the first council member to start budget discussions in Spanish. I pushed all of the department heads to have the budget discussions in Spanish. And then now they're having budget discussions in Khmer, the Cambodian language, which I thought is amazing. So great because more people can access government. And that's exactly what we need to do across the board. And that's why we're here now with SB 1016 too.
Yes, exactly. And we will get a special time to go deeper into our data disaggregation work together and why it's so necessary at the state level. But thank you for sharing that bit about where your journey started. And just to dig a little bit deeper there, I know for us Latinas, right, being in these systems, it's not easy, right? What advice do you have for any young Latinas out there who look up to you and say, I want to be in that role one day. I want to be able to serve in a very similar role. What advice do you have for them?
I always get asked this question and I always tell every Latina that I see is I say manifest it. And I know that always everyone says that, but you have to really envision yourself in this seat and don't let anyone tell you, because I've been told you'll never be a city council member. Right. You'll never be the majority leader. You'll never be, you'll never be, you'll never be. And if you hear all of those outside disruptions,
right,
you don't listen to yourself and listen to those that truly love you and truly have your back, then you get marred by thinking it can't be true. Right. Versus I can see myself on the dais or I can see myself voting on this legislation. I can see myself carrying this amazing disaggregation bill. I can see myself as the first Latina X, Y, and Z. Right. And once you envision yourself like that, it will happen. And, you know, we all do it. I think Latinas, we do it best. We do it with the right intentions.
Agreed.
Because we know we've been in the worst case scenarios and we've been through a lot, having been many of us through immigrant parents or immigrants ourselves. Yeah. And so it's only up from here. But it's like you got to vision yourself as that.
I love it. Envisioning ourselves, the representation matters, right? We say that a lot. And so just with your fierce leadership, you know, we just want to thank you as well, because having you in that role and just the way that you represent the community, the way that you represent Latinas, it is such an honor to have you there and to work alongside you to ensure justice for our comunidades.
Thank you. And you too. You're incredible, Executive Director. I mean, this is wonderful that you're leading this organization into beautiful things for our community. So just because I'm elected doesn't mean I do it all. I do it with incredible partners like you. And so I thank you too for taking this on. This is great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think that piece about partnership, right? The way that I see it, it's almost like a puzzle. And you need every piece of the puzzle to complete that vision. And that's the way that we continue to carry this work in a sustainable manner, because we also can't do all the things, right? We need to give each other that helping hand to be able to advance the work.
That's right. Exactly. You can't do it alone, and in partnership, that's where we get the really good stuff done. So exactly.
Thank you for that. And in that spirit of partnership, I just wanted to say congratulations on the new role. Well deserved. Our Senate Majority Leader. How do you feel? Tell us a little bit more about the news, the process, and your vision.
You know, it's like it was the first day I became a senator. Sometimes you feel like, oh my gosh, it's sort of, everyone talks about like, oh my gosh, it sort of feels out of place because it's so hard sometimes to envision yourself in this place. But once I was appointed by Pro Tem McGuire, I felt, I belong here. And you know what? Hopefully I will not be the last Latina.
That's right.
And, you know, I'm going to do everything to continue to represent who I am. Just because I have a title doesn't mean my package of legislation changes or my heart or values change. Right. In fact, how can I help even more people? How can I do even more work? How can I have, you know, more partnerships with the amazing Cecias of the world? You know, how do I do that? And so that's, you know, I feel really, really overwhelmed with really incredible joy that I get to touch more people across California in a really significant way.
Amazing. Thank you. The first, but not the last, right? That is
exactly.
I love it. I love it. So we're getting to this question about, you know, how do we continue to advance health equity and health justice for Latinos in California? And like you mentioned earlier, our community is so diverse. We're not a monolith. We have our amazing indigenous Mesoamerican community. And you and I, our teams have gotten together and really partner over the past year in our data disaggregation bill and really looking for that equity. What are your thoughts in the amazing work that we accomplished last year? And then what are we looking forward to this 2024?
Yes, it was, you know, honestly, when I've said, I really do say this is my favorite bill because it gives individuals in my district, it gives, you know, farm workers, it gives some of the hardest working janitors, grocery workers, indigenous communities that probably never would have thought that government was thinking about them.
Right.
Finally, a stage in Sacramento to say, yes, you are thinking about me, but you also are looking at how can we better and improve your health outcomes.
Yeah.
And so knowing that there's a large Zapotec community in Los Angeles, there's a large, Salvadorian community in South Central, et cetera, it goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. I even learned, you know, the Puerto Rican community is much more susceptible to asthma than, say, Mexican Americans. And so it's learning through this process, but realizing that we have so much work to do, even in the fifth largest economy, we call ourselves progressive. How do we continue to do this work? But it's not just, you know, I also vice chair the Latino Caucus. There's 38 members, ensuring that, of course, they're all on board because we're all representing individuals that would be severely and greatly impacted by this, but also getting other caucus members from outside of the Latino Caucus. You know, the API Caucus has gone through this with their disaggregation. So how do we connect with them? The Black Caucus as well. We have, Afro-Latinos that don't see themselves in much of this data. How do we coordinate and collaborate to be able to not just have the Latino caucus be the voice, but everybody sing the same chorus and sing the same tune of SB 1016. This is why it's needed. So that's my hope, is that we can do that even more so this year too.
I hear that. And thank you for that. You know, we hear a lot from our community, especially our Indigenous communities, just this this unfortunate piece around not being counted, right? And we know that data speaks. We are a state that leads with data and we make those data-informed decisions. And so if 40%, right, we're talking about 16 million Latinos and we're all different, we all come from different perspectives, different backgrounds, we receive information differently. If we don't know those key disparities by digging into the data, then we're missing so much intel. And it's not just because we're interested in those details, it's because it makes our programs more efficient, right? We have had the wonderful expansions with Health for All, and we want to ensure as a state that we carry it out efficiently, effectively, and that we all are able, who have access to it, are able to access this life-saving program. So it also provides an avenue for our government officials to be able to serve our population better.
That's exactly right. And I think you hit it, is Medi-Cal and Health for All was such a significant, you know, significant, amazing opportunity that we were able to get past through the finish line with all of your help, right? And it was still to this day, I'm just amazed at how incredible that was and how long it took and how many grassroots organizers were in the mix with us to get that done. But to your point, absolutely. Now we need to make sure it's implemented in an equitable way. It's language accessible. What good is it if we cannot get SB 1016 to also double up and ensure that everybody receives this information in their language and that the health outcomes really identify and disaggregate the data so that it can improve outcomes overall, right? So I think oftentimes we have to do this implementation work and it takes a lot of time, but it's meaningful work. And even in a budget deficit, that should not be the excuse to say, well, you know, not this time, not this day. Oftentimes that happens to Latino communities, especially our Indigenous communities, and we're not going to stand for that. We're going to continue to push. As long as I'm here in the state Senate, we're going to continue to push. And I know you will too, but we have to ensure that this is prioritized, especially given the last few years with Health for All. I mean, this is the time.
Exactly. It is the time. I love that.
Yeah.
I wanted to go back to your point around, you know, this isn't new. This is something that we have been able to utilize the example from our AAPI communities, our Black communities, and be able to learn, right, from our siblings, and something that we can also incorporate into our community. So I just wanted to, you know, bring that question to the table. What does it mean to work hand in hand? What does it mean to advance equity and justice together, when many times our communities of color and disenfranchised communities are pitted against each other?
Wow, that's a great question, because we have to face the music and the reality of sometimes what we're dealing with. And you're exactly right. And we, you know, I wholeheartedly, I come from a district that is so diverse, you know, a large Pacific Islander community. And of course, we have the API community that is just absolutely, you know, have done such great work to ensure that they have disaggregation. And our LGBTQ plus community, when I was on the city council, I of course authored something that basically said, you know, we should get data from unhoused individuals on if they're willing to share whether they are LGBTQ, so we can also improve their health outcomes. But the same for our Latino community. And I think that we will have partners in the LGBTQ and the API communities and learn from what they've done, learn their outcomes and their challenges and maybe barriers to getting to their perfect solution. Mm-hmm. And we should all do this in concert with each other. So that's why I'm really looking forward to this opportunity again to now sort of reassess and reposition where we're at, but also ensure that we're getting other folks to come along with us, because I know that they will, which is great.
I love that. I love that. I think that is one key. I'm trained in public health, and that is a key value, right? The fact that population health impacts all of us. So while we give voice to one specific group, we're doing so in partnership with other groups to make sure that at the end of the day, when you better the life and the health conditions of one individual in that community, you're impacting a family, a community, and ultimately the state.
That's right. And we have to keep pushing. We can't take, you know, again, a budget deficit as an excuse. Yes. We can't say, oh, it costs too much money from the Department of Finance. And with all due respect, that's, you know, we've been able to figure it out. Exactly. In past budget years. And this is something that absolutely needs attention. These are people's health outcomes. And so I would certainly forego another program that might not be needed just to ensure that we have this data disaggregation bill taken care of. And that we also look at other communities. How can we, after SB 1016,
yes,
to your point, is how can we help other communities learn? And how can we continue to have panels and education around the state of California to understand what this has done? What profound effect has this created in our communities? Why desegregation matters? Why our indigenous communities need to be leveled up? Because we've learned that, you know, oftentimes they have been discriminated against, and that we need to change that narrative, and that should not exist here in California. So we've got a lot of work to do, but I'm really looking forward to that continued implementation and real deep, meaningful work.
We really do. Thank you for that. And you also mentioned your work with the caucus. Thank you for your leadership there. I was able to share some time with you all at the anniversary last year. That was such a beautiful event, showcasing our cultura, from poetry to music to just an amazing walkthrough of the accomplishments of the caucus. So with your leadership, what is your vision for the caucus this year?
Well, our vision is to continue to uplift all of our voices. And again, we often say, and I will repeat this, of course, we are not a monolith in the Latino caucus. We come from various regions. Yeah. We literally represent every corner of the state of California. We have now a historic 38 members, 35 legislators, 3 constitutional officers, 21 Latinas, the most we've ever had in the state legislature. Yes. And we all come from different thoughts, schools of thought. We come from different backgrounds, the Caribbean, Salvadoreñas, you've got Mexicanas, you know, indigenous. We it's like all of it. And it's so beautiful to see that. And we all have gone in on, we might disagree on some issues, but what we have agreed on historically are the health care for all, the, you know, the safety net programs that we know our communities absolutely need, and language access, which we know is so vital and important. And those are where we've really made some deep, deep impacts to be able to get the good work done across the state, and really have, you know, come face to face with the governor and telling him how important and vital these are for our communities.
Yeah, no. I completely agree. And we look forward to partnering with you and the caucus to make sure that we can advance all of those priorities.
Absolutely. This will be a priority. So we're looking forward to that, too.
Oh, thank you for that. All right. We have come to the time to address the million-dollar question. How do we work together to ensure that health justice for Latinos? How do we get there? What's missing? What creative sources should we be looking at?
Well, I think we did an incredible job last year. I will say to all the advocates at LCHC, MICOP, Comunidades Indígenas, Centro Binacional para el Desarrollo, all of them plus, right? And even communities back home that didn't, you know, they just saw the social media and they thought, oh my gosh, this is so great. Yeah. And they really wanted to support. I would say let's continue that good energy and continuing to get the message out on why this is important. I think hearing some of our indigenous community members speak in committee,
amazing,
even for some of the members that probably wouldn't have normally supported this bill, it was profound for them to hear their beautiful language, to see their beautiful faces, and to say, to just feel their presence there for such a vital issue, I thought was more profound than I could have presented. So let's continue to do that, because I think, again, we have to keep leveling up the discussion on why Latino disaggregation matters and continuing to go to every corner of the state and talk about why this is important. And we'll do the backup work, of course. We're going to continue to hit the governor's office up. our members, for co-authors, continue to gain more support across the caucuses and really diversify what this looks like. But we'll continue that good work with you, Ceci, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Thank you. I am too. And, you know, I know one of our joint values is advancing justice, but something that we also want to communicate to the governor, to all of our partners in the state, is that ultimately, when you keep a community healthy, and if we're talking about 16 million community members in California, you're keeping the economy healthy as well. So this really is an investment in the whole state, not just one community.
That's absolutely right. This is absolutely the one of the largest, most profound investments we could make. And we know that we will see the incredible returns, which are really healthy communities, really healthy families, healthy workforce. We are in all industries, and again, all parts of the state. So I absolutely agree. I think this is profound work, and we're going to get this to the finish line. I promise you, we're going to make this happen this year.
I love it. Yes, we will. Sí se puede.
Sí se puede. That's right.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It has been such a pleasure just getting to know you better, getting to know your story. I know our audience really appreciates just hearing those heartfelt stories that connect us as humans and connect us and root us in the amazing work that we're leading in these roles, these more formal roles. But like you said, it is a privilege and an honor to be able to serve our community in this way. And we are so blessed to be able to work hand in hand with you. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate all your work, Cecilia. Thank you.
Appreciate you.